The following episode of the Bloody Good Horror Podcast is being brought to you by Mini Cassette Tees. For original t-shirt designs in horror, sci-fi, and everything in between, visit www.minicassettetees.com.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Bloody Good Podcast, episode 23. And here we are tonight. We're going to be talking to you about the latest box office bombshell, Prom Night, and none of us are very happy about it.
Yeah, this is the OMG edition of Bloody Good Horror.
I am Casey. I'm broadcasting live from Indianapolis. With me tonight, we have John Schnars.
You.
We have Eric.
Hello there.
Hey.
Will you cut off for a second? He said Mark.
That is his name. I'm still here.
Yay.
Mark, who totally just fucked his iPod Touch.
Yeah. Today has not been my day.
Aw.
That's all right.
So here we go, folks. We're going to have our normal run of features. We got shenanigans. We've got DVD releases. We've got fan mail, and here we go. So let's have at it. Who's got shenanigans this week?
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
I got one, and I think Schnars knows who it's being dedicated to.
See, but I don't think it's fair that you call shenanigans at the beginning of the show where I can't defend myself in any reasonable way.
Well, that's why we do it this way.
Oh, that's fine, but like you're not really making me feel like I want to talk about this movie. Then,
oh, come on. Oh, wah,
no. Yeah, that's fine. No, whatever. Go ahead. No,
the only reason... Well, honestly, the only reason why I wanted to call shenanigans on you, Schnars, was that you told me that you liked Prom Night just as much as The Ruins. And we'll give you a chance to explain why later.
Well, no. Okay, so I've rethought myself a little bit here, and I will admit that that was maybe a rash statement. I think this was, in all honesty, though, like, I really didn't like The Ruins, and I really didn't like this almost. I mean, I liked it less than The Ruins, probably, but, like, in my mind, they were both pretty bad. And this was, okay, and we'll talk about it more later, but comparing this to The Eye, I think this was, like, infinitely better than The Eye.
Oh, my God.
The Eye was so atrociously boring.
OMG.
And, like, this at least had people getting killed. That's all you can say is... At least there were people dead.
I'll give you
that. You got to see a dead body.
Well, as long as you admit that that was a semi-rash statement, I will rescind my shenanigans.
At the end of the day, The Eye, or The Ruins, like, I didn't really like them, and I didn't think this was any good either, but, you know.
Schnars has been getting worked up for this shit all weekend.
Oh, I have. No, I really have, because, like, it bothers me that, like, we're forced to talk about these fucking atrocious movies, you know?
Well, we'll get to that, because we actually have an email or an email/comment along those lines.
I mean, exactly, but, yeah, all right, so I'll hold back. Go ahead.
Girls, you're both pretty.
Anybody else got anything this week?
I'm good.
Go ahead, Casey. Oh, I thought you had something.
No, I'm good. I've been filled up with beer and paint fumes all week, so.
You're
awesome.
After a week off.
Had I known, I would have drank beer and sniffed paint before I went to see Prom Night.
Yes, it didn't help.
I would have rather sniffed paint. I'm going to call shenanigans on myself. Besides for fucking up my iPod just now, Friday, I was leaving work, and, you know, I had a pretty good day. I actually got offered a pretty sweet chat about it, but I'm driving away, and as I'm about to take a left on one of the crossroads, I see this dude in a van that looks like it would have nothing but, like, tin cans and dead bodies in it, screaming at me, honking his horn, and shaking his fist, and I'm like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So I take the left and I peel, and I hear a thud on my car and, like, water splashed on my windshield. And I was talking to Mom on the phone. I was like, some fucking bum just threw a tin can out of his car at me while I was driving. And I get home and I park the car, and I I take a look at the substance on the car. It's butter. I go look in my car and notice that my reusable coffee mug is missing. It wasn't a bum. He didn't throw anything at me. I just left my fucking mug on top of the car when I
came. Wow, that's a story.
And I had to call mom back so she didn't think I was driving through a fucking war zone with like bums throwing cans and tires.
I thought you were gonna tell me he threw his like a piss can at you.
It's bottle. Yeah. Well, that's what I was afraid of. I had to smell my window when I got out, and it was just water. I'm a fucking retard. You go from feeling so cool and awesome. It's like, cool, I got a job. I'm gonna be an adult, and then I'm like, man, I'm still kind of retarded.
Wait, I missed that part. You got a job?
Well, hopefully.
Aren't you supposed to call your brother and tell him that when that happens?
Well, you know.
Just saying.
It's all right.
All right, then. So, Schnarz, do you have shenanigans besides me?
No, you know, I'm too, you know, end of the weekend. I'm too tired, really.
Yeah. I will say anti-shenanigans on the cleavage in prom night, because that was about the only thing that was semi-interesting.
Dude, you were trying to, like, divert your attention by seeing how loud you could fart. Yeah. I was spending all of my energy trying to imagine the shadows created by the dresses as nipples.
I swear I saw a half nipple in that movie, but we'll talk about
it. I thought I saw one like three times. That's
a halfy.
It's shadow play.
Well, let's be honest, at a certain point you're like imagining shit because you need something to think of. So
yeah, well it could have been that cat piss that was squirted in my face before the movie. But a little South Park out there for you. All right, we got a lot of stuff to do tonight, so let's get moving along to fan mail. This first piece wasn't fan mail, but it's related. It was actually a post on the site this week from our buddy T-Van, and this will play into our conversation that Snarz obviously wants to have. He says, I'm beginning to have this conflict about remakes like this. I know that horror websites will cover these films because of the original source material, but at the same time, I feel like they don't deserve the attention. I think we all knew going into Prom Night 2008 that it was going to blow hardcore. Does that mean that you shouldn't cover it? I don't know the answer to that question, which is where my conflict lies. Horror is definitely in full-on remake mode, so I suppose there isn't much else to cover in terms of mainstream horror. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of thing. Hugs and kisses, T-Van. No, I just put that in there.
I
think he makes a really valid point, to be honest, but I think Prom Night is a really special case because, as I said in my review, like this film was in no way intentioned to be a horror movie for someone who likes horror movies. I mean, this was like somebody was flipping through the channels and saw My Super Sweet 16 and said, and then somehow connected the dots between that and the word Prom Night and decided we need that title so we can make the gayest horror film ever.
Well, I was actually waiting for a perfect point to bring this up. I'm sure you guys got the same trailers, but the whole film can basically be summed up by the fact that in the previews, it was a preview for The Strangers, followed by a preview for The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
Part 2.
Dude, you're right on. I was actually thinking that exact same thing. Like they had no idea how to like what previews to run in front of this.
We got Quarantine and that fucking new Anna Faris movie.
I think they knew exactly what they had to run in front of it.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess Quarantine. That looks good. Yeah,
we saw Quarantine. I saw all four of those. I saw Quarantine, the like Playboy House Bunny, whatever the hell it's called, and then those other two that Mark mentioned.
That Anna Faris trailer, I love Anna Faris. She's super hot, but that movie looks fucking awful. And the trailer ends with some corny joke about her being blonde or something. And the lights went down, and some like 14-year-old girl like in the back went, "I would totally do that."
No, I actually
I was like, "Oh my Jesus!"
I have a like positive anti-shenanigans sort of, because I was in like a theater real early Saturday morning. It's like a humongous theater. I mean, I was in like the nicest theater in Manhattan, and there was not many people, probably like 20 people there. This woman sitting like three rows back from me, and I think you guys will all you've all had this experience, but she's one of these people who has to talk during every preview, and like the preview ends and she's still talking at like preview volume, you know? So like every preview would end and go to the like the green screen for the next preview, and she would be like mid sentence going, "Oh yeah, that one looks good too." Like I fucking was laughing my ass off for like 5 minutes as the movie started because this woman seemed very excited about seeing every single one of the movies that was previewed.
And so it's like they really feel the need to explain to their movie going partner exactly what they think of each movie and if they think they will see it or not.
No, exactly.
The worst is when you go to the movies with a friend and you don't know they're that person and the lights go out and they start talking to you and you're like, "Really? Is this what we're doing right now?"
That's why I go by myself.
Exactly. Oh, no, you didn't. Dude, yeah, although I felt super creepy sitting in prom night by myself.
Yeah. I would say this is actually the first movie I went to with Allison where I was actually less well-behaved than she was. Because I was just talking the whole time because I was just trying to like keep myself from fucking throwing my shoe at somebody or like having an aneurysm.
I would have felt creepy if, like, when I looked around the theater, there weren't five or six much older men than I.
Well, I was just going to say, you were in New York City, so there's probably dudes jacking off all around.
Well, plus, I took Bloody Good Horror stickers with me and sort of, like,
awesome,
you know, plastered the bathroom when I had the chance. So.
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah, and they were asking girls to pull up their shirts and, like, putting them on their boobies and stuff.
Winning fans, one crapper at a time.
Yeah. Hey, I've been doing my subversive campaign throughout New York. So,
you got the crapper idea for me, by the way.
Oh, it's the best.
Well,
actually,
you should be
is
very
the,
proud, Casey.
The above urinal. So, like, because in New York, a lot of the bars have like urinals with ads on them. I'm sure you guys have these too.
Yeah.
And so, like, I put them on top of the ad, which means they're probably going to get scraped off eventually, but they're impossible to miss. So,
at least a couple people are going to go take a piss and see it.
Yeah, and drunk.
Do that, or Eric's going to start getting email from people saying, "Quit graffiti in my fucking bathroom."
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sure someone's done this before, but we should give out stickers to fans and have a contest like the fucking weirdest place you could put a Bloody Good Horror sticker.
Done. Absolutely done.
I'll start taking camera pics of my.
Just don't put it on your brown star. We don't want to see that picture.
No one wants to see
Sweet
that.
Sweet Jesus.
All right. We actually had a real piece of mail this week. I was conversing a little more with Steve this week, who sent in the email last week to tell us about the mistake we made during the Shudder episode. So I was a little. If you listen to last week's episode, like I was a little confused as to what exactly the mistake we made was, and so I figured it out. The film is from Thailand, but I must have said the word Taiwanese a few times throughout the show. So he says, I asked him for like clarification. He said, "As I remember, you use the terms Thai and Taiwanese interchangeably, so it may have been more of a matter of adjective forms than geography." And then apparently he's not Asian, like I said last week.
Wow, so you're really offended.
Oh, I know. I'm just fucking up left and right with this. So I asked him what the Changhua thing was because I'd asked him how to pronounce it, and he said Changhua is the name of the town I lived in while I was teaching English in Taiwan. So he kind of used it as like a handle. And then he says – and he closes out and says, "Apropos of nothing, I hope you do something with that idea you had about a Schnarr's Word of the Day segment. A little love for all of us philology nerds out there in internet land." Sure. Is that the word, Schnarrs?
I don't know. I mean, that could mean like word nerd, sure.
Philology.
Yeah, it's the structure and historical development of language and languages. So,
oh, nice.
Good word.
Nice.
I was actually telling somebody about the about Changhua Steve and how I thought the Steve was the best part.
That part kind of threw me off too.
Like Changhua Dave.
But I knew a Indian dude that went to our high school for like a year on an exchange program, and his name was Harry Das Paul, so I figured anything was possible.
That's awesome.
All right, so just for our buddy Steve, for getting him mixed up for an Asian person, we are going to begin the Schnarr's Word of the Day.
Ring for Schnarr's Word of the Day.
But first, because we didn't do it earlier, Mark, did you have any Google stuff for us?
Oh yeah, I got five.
Okay, so explain to new listeners what this is.
Well, basically, we're watching you. If anybody gets to the site via Google search, I know what they search for and how long they spent on the site and stuff.
Yeah,
and
bloody asshole trailer porn.
Yeah, yeah. The best pick of last time was bloody asshole trailer porn. And
in quotes.
It's interesting because a lot of these people just search and they're like, oh, fuck. I mean, that's not what I was looking for, and leave. But they're pretty awesome. And maybe some of these, the ones that are in quotes are the ones that are particularly peculiar, because that means like it matched up to an exact search on our site. So maybe you guys have insight. I know what one of the full quotes is, but this one, it's a good segue. I'll start off. The first one is 57 ways to scam a free drink.
Okay.
Is that in quotes?
Yeah.
That was... I know what that was. I did an interview with this guy. He's like a dark magician from Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
And his name is Brian Brushwood, and that's his book.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically just about how, like, if you learn a couple of corny parlor tricks, you can pretty much get anyone to buy you a free beer at a bar.
Sweet.
That doesn't make it quite anywhere near as funny.
No.
Thanks for ruining it.
Sorry.
The next one is Gruesome Nazi.
All right.
Was that one in quotes? They could have been
searching for that dude who was like the head of NASCAR, or not NASCAR, what's called Formula One racing.
Got caught in his little Nazi sex romp there.
Yeah, his gruesome Nazi sex romp. So.
Hunt virgins.
Oh, Jesus.
I wrote a story about something about, it was a couple. It was a real story about a couple that was just sentenced, and they were like serial killers, and they were actually hunting virgins.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Do you think that's what he was searching for?
or like a how-to? Yeah. Hunting virgins for dummies.
Yeah, right. Christ. This one's, this could link to any number of stories on our site, but I just thought it was funny that somebody searched for Nilbog invasion and got to our site.
Sweet. Little troll to love.
And this one, I know where it came from, but it doesn't make it any less funny because it's a search in quotes. Don't stick your dick in these holes.
people in their dicks.
You know what the funny part is? I know where it came from, but it doesn't make it any less random. Lewis Fowler, who contributes to our site, a lot actually lately, thankfully, posted that at the end of one of his comments. And I don't know if that's like a reference to something or...
That's just like his signature?
Oh, yeah. Because I checked. It's not his signature, because that's what I was thinking. But yeah,
it's hard to say with Lewis.
Yeah, searching in quotes, don't stick your dick in these holes. And they found our hole, and they did stick their dick in it.
I was going to say, hopefully they stuck their dick in it.
They left right afterwards.
Damn.
So.
That's a good thing to know. I mean, you know.
So they were just in and out.
Should be aware.
Sorry, nothing will ever be as good as bloody asshole.
I know, we started off with a bang there. It's kind of hard to match that, but it's all right. He's still out there somewhere. Just knowing that guy exists is enough for me.
Or girl.
I'm probably not a woman. I'm just going to venture and say that. But
hey, you never know. She could be looking for a job.
So now that we built everyone up and then diverted attention away from it, let's get back to what we're most excited about, which is
word of the day.
John Schnarr's word of the day. And each week, this is going to be a word that describes our feature presentation for the night. So what do you got for Schnarr's?
So this was actually a word that I saw in a review of Prom Night. I think it was the New York Times review, but I can't remember. Anyway, the word of today is erotomania. And erotomania is an official psychiatric disorder, I think. Although, and I should know this because that's sort of what I do for a living.
Yeah,
but
next week I expect like full origin and use in a sentence.
The origin should be pretty obvious with erato and eros and all those that root, and then mania just being craziness. I guess I don't know what the official thing is for mania, but so yeah. Anyway, it's a delusion in which believes that another person is in love with them. So Prom Night is an example of someone suffering from erotomania. He's really a tragic hero, so
sort of.
Just a lead up, bitch.
All right, erotomania. I like that. Thanks, Schnarr's.
No problem.
That was erotic.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick. match your dress.
It's a champagne color.
Then it's a little sexy.
You look beautiful.
Three keys to Smith 312.
Oh my gosh, you guys!
This is it. This is all ending. It's time of our lives.
Sure gonna miss you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, everyone. Bridgeport High's prom king and prom queen are...
Lisa! Lisa!
Years ago, this guy, he got obsessed with a young female student. He went psycho. He's been in a maximum security prison up until 3 days ago.
Claire?
He's somewhere in this hotel.
Is anybody here? Hello?
Donna. Oh, I've missed you.
What's going on?
He's locked all the exits.
I can't find Lisa.
Please don't do this. Please.
I got officers down. I need backup now.
Where is she?
He's not going to stop until he gets her.
So it's time now to talk about prom night.
We've been kind of slow to start, and I think that's a perfect explanation as to why. But we're all just
we don't really want to get to this part. But I was gonna have Schnarrs write this review originally because I have a friend who actually just moved away this weekend. We're gonna have a big like going away party for him on Friday, and I had to catch the movie at like 5:30, and I wasn't gonna have time. But I got out of it, and I immediately As our listeners know, Schnarrs and I start texting like 14-year-old girls after movies. So I immediately texted him and said, I'll write the review. I must douche this movie from my soul. And he fired back and said, wow, that bad, huh? I'm still holding out hope. And I like immediately started to text him to be like, don't. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to end it here and just let him. And just because I'm really fascinated to see like what someone thinks of this who's like kind of like holding out hope for it. So. Let's have this discussion first that T-Van brought up and that obviously Schnarrs brought up when he almost quit the show at the beginning. let's have this discussion. Is this something we should not be covering? I mean, I kind of am proud of the fact that, you know, we're one of the only podcasts I know of that literally get out and do full roundtable reviews of almost every, wide release. And I'm proud of that. And that, unfortunately for us, involves also watching shitty movies. And, yeah. Even if a movie is shitty, I feel like it's interesting and maybe important to get to the root of why so that, I don't know. I mean, I think that helps when you're talking about good movies. So, you know, why is this movie good versus this one? So, I don't know, Schnarrs, what do you think of this?
Well, that's exactly the point that I would make, and it's something that I'll talk about a little bit more maybe when we get to the box office stuff, and I'll talk a little bit about the spreadsheet that I pulled together and all this stuff because, I've said it before, I think, on the podcast, and I try to write about it a little bit on the site. Like, it's just really interesting to me, you know, when a horror film in particular does really well, because we should know and be comfortable with the fact that horror is a niche genre for the most part. It's a very popular niche genre. I mean, maybe the most popular, but at the same time, you know, for something to really grab the public's attention, that's interesting to me for reasons other than whether or not the film was any good. Mm. And it's interesting because a lot of times the films aren't the films that horror fans necessarily like, or you know, it's the films that aren't horror releases that aren't popular horror releases with horror fans that become popular with everyone else, and that's something that we as enthusiasts of the genre should be addressing. One, because I think it's an interesting topic, and it's something that, you know, we should be comfortable talking about, but also, too, because, you know, I think in a lot of regards, we should be the, and this is going to sound crazy maybe, but the guardians of, you know,
garbage,
the horror genre. Yeah, well, just saying, like, listen, it's one thing for Prom Night to have done well, but, like, you know, I don't, we need to continue to send the message that, like, we are here, we want to see something different from what Prom Night is, and, like, try to articulate exactly what that is and, like, how we think that that thing can be just as popular. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
even know I'm confused because you sounded pretty pissed at the top of the show. I mean, are you upset that we, you know, you had to see it or that we're talking about it?
No. So, okay. I mean, what I'm upset about, or what I was upset about, is the, like, characterization that, like, no horror fan could like this film, because, like, I didn't like it. I mean, we can talk more about it, but, like, it wasn't very good. But at the same time, like, I thought, like I said to you over text message after I had seen it, I thought this was better than The Eye by, like, a lot. I thought it was better than Untraceable. It was probably better than One Missed Call. You know, it was definitely better to me than Diary of the Dead, which I was mortified at almost, and for different reasons, obviously, because those are all very different releases. But, you know, I thought it was, and I mean, maybe this can transition us into a wider discussion of the film, but, like, I know you guys, like, really were upset with how neutered this film was, but for me, I almost looked at this as, like, an interesting film in that if I'm a parent of, let's say, like, an 11 or 12 year old, and, you know, they are not really a horror fan per se, I would be interested to see, like, show them this film, because it is neutered enough that I think an 11 or 12 year old could watch it and not, you know, it's not gory and graphic like a lot of horror shit that, like, I wouldn't want my kid watching. But, like, this film would be an okay introduction and a watered down introduction to the genre for a younger audience.
Casey, how old is your daughter?
7 years old.
Oh, damn. I was going to say we could do the first Bloody Good Horror warping the youth experiment. So I don't know. Casey, what do you think? Do you think we should not be talking about this? Or
no, I think we should, because it's – well, look at it this way. This is our – in a way, granted, this is a hobby for all of us, but this is our job to cover this stuff, and it's a genre movie that comes out there, and I think it's the – we can't necessarily – I think we're doing a service to the people out there, you know, because you never know. There might be a movie that they think looks awful, and we're going to go out there and see it, and they might be surprised. And that way people can tune in and know one way or the other. And kind of to quote myself on Cinema Fromage and the tagline I used to use there, we watch crap so you don't have to. It's kind of providing a service for those people, and that's, you know, kind of what we're here for.
Yeah, I mean, even if – sometimes I do feel guilty, like, sitting, you know – sitting in the theater on opening night for Prom Night, having given them my, you know, $10 or whatever. But then I got to stop and think, like, if I write a review or we do a show, and even if two people see that and decide not to go see it, I feel like that kind of cancels that out. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And to go off what Casey's saying, I don't know if this is necessarily the case for every site, you know, and with the fucking internet, there's so many goddamn horror sites that you can't even pay attention, but, like, one of the things, too, is I think that our site in particular, considering that we don't ever really get money from studios, we get sent, like, screeners and shit from Anchor Bay, but I think that as an extension of the service, you really need to kind of watch these films and be able to speak completely honest about them and about how fucking terrible they are, you know? And I was telling Alice, and she's like, well, are you looking forward to doing the podcast tonight? And I said, you know, sometimes, even though I'm, like, I was legitimately bummed after I left the theater today, but I think that this movie in particular brings up so many more interesting discussions that have, like John said, absolutely nothing to do with the actual...
I feel like they almost make for, like, better shows.
Yeah, well, I mean, A, it's a lot, you know, more entertaining when we swear and get angry and stuff, but also, like, it, you know... One of the things I was thinking about was, like, I brought up the PG-13 thing, and I was like, you know, there hasn't been a great PG-13 horror film in a long time. And then I was like, wait a second, Cloverfield is PG-13.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it just brought up this. And then I looked at the thing John posted on the site, which he posted a blog, which you can check out tomorrow if you, you know, or whenever, when you get this, you know, about the box office breakdowns and the ratings, and it was something really interesting. And I realized that what I've been actually avoiding all of the PG-13 films, and I've just gotten to the point where I can't sit through a podcast without watching the movie because A, I feel like a dick, and B, I get really bored. So I just found that I've actually been purposefully avoiding every PG-13 horror flick that came out this year, with the exception of Cloverfield, because that was obviously a very special case.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I got
so I
rambling.
Think the general conclusion is that it sucks, but there is some value in talking about these films, even though we were all pretty sure it wasn't going to be good.
Yeah, and especially with people like us, as hardcore as we're into it, it also, a movie this bad, it's for us in the podcast setting, it's going to bring out a lot more discussion on the, I don't know, I want to say like philosophical side of the horror movies and the genre and right. stuff like that, and why, how they're failing that, so to speak.
Well,
so you
every,
get more information
yeah, for
that
every,
way, too.
I mean, every bad movie asks 10 interesting questions, you know? Mm-hmm. So, well, let's dig right into it. I'm just going to synopsize quickly. It's very simple. It's very cliched in a lot of ways, I think, which I'm sure a lot of reviewers have mentioned. It basically starts out 3 years prior. It starts out when she's Brittany Snow is 15, and basically she comes home from a movie. There's no one – like the TV's on. Her father isn't there. You know something bad's about to happen.
She's 32 going on 15.
Yeah, and you find out basically that, like, I noticed, too, what's great in the flashback. They totally have her in, like, a sweatshirt, like this really, like a sort of tomboyish sweatshirt. And I was like, man, they must have wrapped her boobs in something because she, like, they're trying their hardest to, like, make her not look, like, super hot.
Put her in pigtails and have a doll in her hand or something.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't help. But, so basically there's a guy, you find out... You know, and the order of this really is—it's the whole movie's kind of a blur for me. But you find out that one of her teachers in, like, I guess that was high school, had become obsessed with her. He'd gotten fired, and then he started like stalking her and like I don't even remember, but stalking her basically. So he had broken into her house and he killed both of her parents while trying to get to her. And she was under the bed while it happened, and he didn't know she was there. So like, there's this like I guess like kind of not—it's not brutal so much visually, but it, I mean it's. Sort of, I can't even think of a word, but like she's laying under the bed. She sees her mother get stabbed basically, and her mother sees she's there. And even though she knows she's about to die, she says, you know, she doesn't say anything basically.
Well, yeah, she tells her that she's not, she tells the guy that she's at a sleepover.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He like goes even crazier at that.
And then, so we flash forward, it's 3 years later and it's prom night. And, she's getting ready, with all of her friends to go out, and she's living with who I assume two people who I assume are her aunt and uncle.
Yeah, she calls him her aunt and uncle like a couple times.
Schnars, my review really pissed you off, didn't it, Schnars?
Well, because I think you were and I'll talk about this a little more too, but I think you were calling out things that like weren't really fair, and I'll explain why.
I'll give you that one, but I honestly, but that's how I just I did not remember.
No,
I honestly
know.
Didn't
well,
remember. But and I mean, you know. Subtlety is nowhere in this, could not be used to describe anything in this film. It was like, I just can't remember the last time I saw a movie that was so insistent on beating me over the head with cliches. And
false.
They were cliches
was,
from like...
Subtle nipples.
There were cliches from like 90s slashers that I thought we were over. And all. It's like someone, I just got this feeling like someone was really trying to bring those 90s watered down slashers back, and that I think just kind of offended me on a horror fan level.
There was, yeah, and I mean, as far as the opening goes, there's the one thing that I did like that they did with this in the storyline, because the original Prom Night, for those of you who have not seen it, spoiler alert, dealt with a twin brother. And this one, it has been updated to a modern age and to fit in with current news lines and headlines and stuff like that. I did like how they did that.
Well,
other
honestly,
than that,
it wasn't even updated, though. It was completely rewritten. I mean, there's not – is with the exception that it was set at a prom, there's
yeah,
not a
oh,
single
yeah, granted
plot
that.
Tying these two films together, which I don't – you know, it's kind of bullshit to me. But
yeah, I'm not saying that. It didn't really have anything hardly at all to do with the original Prom Night, like you said. I'm just saying, though, that they actually tried to make the plot somewhat relevant to today by making it – because there's all these stories in the news with the teacher sleeping with their students and stuff like that. So they at least tried to make that effort in the writing. And I don't know – I think their effort probably fell away after that point, but the – you know –
Well, I mean, I know, Casey, you've mentioned this before. It just, I'm sure that there's a logical reason for it, and maybe someone else can tell me what it is, but it just boggles my mind when these studios pay money for remake rights. All they really want is a title. So you're,
right.
But in this case, you're talking about a fairly obscure 80s slasher that mm-hmm. probably came out before the target audience for Prom Night was even born. So why, what's the, is the title Prom Night that totally kick-ass that you needed to pay money for? That's what I don't, I mean, you could have just called this like my super
Dance
weak.
Dance of Death.
Yeah, my super well, weak no. prom or something.
Prom is this time of year. Like those are.
Yeah, the, you know, I didn't even think
about
that.
Yeah, that's true. No, and to be considered also is that, like, they might not have actually paid for anything. The studio who made this, Screen Gems, is probably owned by someone bigger, and I can't think of who it is right now.
They
but,
could have actually just had the rights under
there. Yeah, and so, like, they're thinking to themselves, well, we need to make a new horror movie. Like, what do we got in, like, what's in our backlog? Like, everyone's loving these remakes. Like, why not just go through our backlog? Oh, well, we got this one Prom Night, and I think, like Mark said, that's actually a really good point, is that – and. I mean, probably contributed the film's popularity is that, like, it is this time of year, you know, why not just, like, go with the title, you know? They might, my guess is they probably didn't pay all that much for the rights if they did to remake this film.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, and I mean, we'll actually get into the film in a second, but did all of you guys go by yourselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I
guess I had
creepy.
Kind of an interesting perspective because I went with Allison and, like, I was laughing through most of the film. Like, I'll bring up more laughable, more LOL worthy points later. But I talked to her after, and I was like really trying to like get into her head. Like, I was like, "What?" Because she was scared during parts, and I was like, "Well, why were you scared?" And
oh, that's
and
cute.
She was like, "Yeah, you know." And she was like, "You know, It just scares me to think that things like that could actually happen." And I was like, they can happen. Because I was thinking of all the plot holes and like all this shit. Like,
oh my
the
god,
dude
the
escape,
fucking
dude
prison
escapes,
escape scene.
The dude
fucking
escapes and, well, the dude escapes and nobody knows about it until 3 days later, specifically the girl that it would be of interest
well,
that he escaped.
Well,
you
did
know,
anyone
whatever.
Notice?
But,
did anyone notice when he popped the vent out that sunlight came through? That's what pissed me off. I was like, so there's a fucking 1/8-inch metal grate between him and just fucking walking out of this place? Are you fucking
well,
kidding
wait,
me?
Hold on. Let me go back for a quick second. And so we were talking about that, and she said, and if I was in high school going to prom right now, it would have totally flipped me the fuck out, and I would have felt like absolutely terrible and terrified afterwards.
Right, which
like,
is just speaks to who the target audience is for the film.
And so let me jump in here because this was something that I cheated a little bit in that I had read Eric's review before I went to the film. So like I was like specifically looking out for no, I mean, because you mentioned so many things so prominently that I was like, well, now I got to see if this is really the case. And so, like, the one issue, like, the plot hole of no one knew that he was coming, they do mention, and it's like a toss-off line, but they mention that he's 25 or 2,300 miles away, which means that, like...
Yeah, which is even more ridiculous that he just manages, I mean...
Well, it is,
not even taking
but, like,
into account the fact that he somehow knew when her prom was.
Well, they never really say that he was escaping just for her prom. They just – he escaped and, like, he was, like, heading for her and found out that it was her prom.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
I mean, no, like, so there are a lot of plot holes in this movie. I don't want to make it sound like there aren't.
Can you
the
just
biggest...
– before you rip into me, can you just give me the grate in the prison – in his cell thing?
No, well, dude, that's what I was going to say. Like, that one plot hole kind of ruins the whole film in that, like – there's no fucking way this guy, at least in Halloween, like the remake of Halloween, when Michael Myers escapes, it's like a believable escape in that he has to fucking kill like 3 guards and he's like chained up and like all this shit. This guy, apparently they were just like letting hang out in like the sunroom.
It's
know,
like a, it's,
fucking...
a, it's not even a scene either. It's like a, you know what it reminded me of? The Black Christmas remake.
Dude,
it's
oh like, my god. I thought the like, exact same face. Fucking thing.
It's like a 4-second flashback to the most ridiculous prison escape ever. And that's it. You see him pop the thing. You see him jump out, and then they're like, "Yep, he escaped."
Even in Black Christmas, it's like more believable, I think, than this. So
Black Christmas.
Give you guys an idea, and the listeners an idea of how effective that escape scene was. I don't remember him showing it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, really.
Well, what was hilarious to me was that they totally had like a match on action later in the film where. When he was escaping from the hotel, well, when he escaped from the hotel, obviously, I don't know if we're spoiling this. I guess we are, but he doesn't escape through the grate. But No, but he hides a body in the like grating of the ceiling, and yeah. It just like made me think like what like was this guy like some sort of like you know air conditioning like HVAC like savant or something
Ophelia.
That he knew how to like yeah like. How did he know how to like fucking manipulate all these like grates in every location?
Well, I'm guessing the same.
I got to clean the air vents.
I'm guessing he learned that from the same class that taught him how to make dead bodies jump out of closets without any provocation.
And that was another thing that you mentioned in the review that I thought was awesome because you were right on. Like he told like that one
towards
scene
the end
when the cops are looking through the room and they like open the one thing and it doesn't fall out right away and then it's just like it's like a jump scare like it, I was
it looks like
up
the
so
fucking
hard.
Thing was spring loaded like it was
yeah.
like
yeah
and then it just like shoots out and like slams against the wall and it's so loud and I'm like I jumped for a second I was like how the fuck did that happen
yeah. No and,
did they ever say what class he taught
no
science
I don't know
I think
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe he's a shop teacher.
No, but I did want to. I wanted to jump off from what Mark was saying a little bit because this also gets back to what I was saying about you know I would show this to my younger kid because I think a lot of the points that you know you made in the review and that we've made so far during the show is that the conventions the slasher convention are pretty heavy handed. There's no subtlety at all in this film and. What that is good for is for people who aren't familiar with those conventions. It's for people
yeah,
who
but,
are, you know.
I mean, who isn't, well, though? Even young kids, I feel like. That's like.
No. Absolutely not. Like, if people don't watch slashers, how would they know? You know? Well, and so it might be, like, old hat to us, but.
Also, to play off of, jump off of John's bus there, this is also. I think it's important for us to go out and see these movies like this, too, to get the word out on how bad they are, because this is what Hollywood's turning our genre into.
Well, for my sanity and the quality of the show, can we talk about more stuff that's stupid in this movie?
I got one to throw in, because you guys just mentioned the limo scene.
Go for it.
The thing that made me almost walk out of the theater then is when the gal get in the limo the first time, they mention the one blonde bitch that put together the... who spent $100,000 on decorating the prom,
yeah.
And then the black girl looks at the main girl, to Brittany Snow, and she says, "Rich bitch," one word, and then they go into the fucking limo montage.
It's time for a montage.
In terms of a continuity thing, can we just talk about?
You totally just cut out, dude. What'd you say?
Yeah, we lost you.
The fucking hotel room they were in, which I understand,
yes.
Was, you know, that's like a fucking $5,000 a night hotel room, and the room that was supposedly down the way that he was in was like the place fucking Allison and I stayed in Niagara Falls. And
those are the same hotel
or on the same floor, or that they had. I mean, maybe they have money. I don't fucking know, but that drove me nuts. It's like.
That's where the Super Sweet 16 reference came from, though, dude, because it was like that whole trend makes me angry enough of like little fucking snotty rich bitches getting ridiculously expensive parties for like no reason at all. So that's why like this whole movie was just that. It was like, let's take that and combine it with a shitty horror movie and see what happens.
See, and that whole thing, this whole thing with the hotel room and... All this stuff is part of the key problem, what makes this movie so horrible, because you have zero fucking sympathy for the characters.
Yeah, I gotta add Mark back to the call. He just got disconnected. Hey, douche.
You have an icon that says installer. That's where you install games and shit.
All right, folks. Can we get back to the show, buddy?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the show here. We had some audio difficulties there. I believe Casey was in the middle of a rant. What was that, Casey, you were talking about?
Well, I'm just saying it's part of the whole thing with the super expensive hotel room, the prom that's set up like an LA club, the kids going in a limo ride and bitching about the other rich bitch while they were driving around in a limo. That's the key element that makes this movie so horrible, because you've got no emotional investment whatsoever in these characters. You do not give one flying fuck what happens to them, because they're already so unrealistic, and they're just all they're doing is pissing you off.
Casey, I do have to interject and say again, like, you are not the person that was supposed to be identifying with these characters.
I understand that.
You
I
have
understand.
To imagine that you're a like 15, 16-year-old girl who's dreaming about her own self, like, oh, wow, that hotel room's so big. Like, I want mine to be that big.
Why,
you know?
Does, it,
I mean,
why
like,
does it have to be dumbed down, though? Why can't a teenage girl get into, like,
Have you ever talked to a 16-year-old girl before?
Well, that's my question, then. I guess my question is, why are they so fucking stupid?
All right. I'm not ready to walk down that
shenanigans.
Path.
We're running down that fucking path.
No,
let's
go. But,
we went and saw Scream 2. When it came out, Scream 2. No, I'm just, you know.
All I would say is that, you know, I think there are people out there, may not be us, who maybe this is, like, kind of close to their prom experience. Like, my prom was at, like, a really expensive hotel. I didn't get a room because, dear Lord knows, I can't afford it. But, like, that was there, and certainly people at my prom probably did.
That was actually one of my questions. I didn't even go to my prom. Did you guys?
Yeah. Mine was in the fucking high school gym.
Yeah, all my friends and I just went up to a camp and got blasted.
That probably
so you can
more
see why I have such emotional attachments to the concept of the prom.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, I had a very nice time at my prom, and it was at one of the nicer hotels in the kind of like Philadelphia suburb area. So
I wish somebody had killed my girlfriend at my first prom. She was crying because the chicken was too cold.
So she was being a woman, basically?
Well, you know, sometimes people want their to be warm.
So, Schnars, if you love this movie so much, you should marry it.
I'm thinking about marrying several of the young ladies.
You know, I will say, I did really love the poster for the film, and we all picked up free copies at Horror on Weekend, and I put it on my wall, and I'd forgotten about it, and I came home and looked at it, and I was like, oh, shit, I think I have to take that down now.
Like, how could you betray me?
Meanwhile, Casey's framing his Midnight Meat Train poster.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
I honestly feel like the woman who sold me my ticket gave me a look like, really?
Yeah.
That's why I went with Allison. Like,
it may have been just in my head, but I think it was there.
Dude, I buy at the machine just so I don't have to put up with those looks.
I carry my notepad with me so I can give them the look like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
Tyler Perry's Tyler Perry.
I do want to throw out some props on the positive side, that the film had two of the stars of HBO's The Wire. Which
there were all kinds of like slumming decent character actors in this movie.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you're right. You mentioned that too. Like the main guy, the like killer guy, I thought was, he was bad in the movie.
I've seen him in other shit before. His name's like Jonathan like Sketch or something. I don't really know how to say his name.
His name is John Malkovich. Did anybody else catch that?
Was there someone in the movie?
No, I was trying. Wait, you don't know who John Malkovich is?
No, I'm saying, but was there someone in the movie named John Malkovich? I don't see
the fucking killer. I was trying to figure out who he looked like the whole time, and I think he looks like a fucking poor man's John Malkovich. That's just me.
He could be like a much younger John Malkovich. You're right. I could see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, you're right. There was a lot of decent talent who was being, like, horrifically underused. So.
The chick's aunt was in, she's, like, a TV actress. I'm sure she's been in other stuff, but I saw her. I used to watch that show, Boston Public.
That's where I knew her from.
Oh, yes. She's a fucking terrible actress. Holy Jesus.
Also, I was shocked to see Ming-Na Wen in this movie, who Mark will recognize as being Chun-Li.
Oh, wait a second. That's not the same.
But she was a therapist, and she's been on like ER. She's actually a pretty decent actress. I was like, really?
Yeah. Well, you know what was like the most hilarious point of this movie to me?
The whole thing.
Obviously, besides the whole thing. But so they build up that whole like prom queen element, like who's gonna be the prom queen?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
And like it's that whole Christy versus like the other girl. Dude, the thing never goes anywhere. Like,
though, because she picks up the letter and she's all pissed off.
Yeah, but by that point, the black girl was dead.
Well,
everybody was leaving the prom.
This brings me to another one of my complaints, like John said, with all the cliches. It was, like, not just cliches, but so many characters made just insanely awful decisions that the only reason they made those decisions was to service the plot. And for instance, this black girl... who is, like, obviously, because, you know, based on what we've described already, she was obviously the only black girl in the entire film, and her boyfriend was obviously the only black guy. And she was, like, up for prom queen or whatever. And the whole night,
she was also
it's like this running, she was super hot. And I'll get to that. I'll get to the nipple in a minute. But she was also, like, there's this major...
Exact same part too.
Besides the murder, there was like this major subplot about who's going to be prom queen. Is it going to be her, or is it going to be like this like bitchy white chick? And there's all this build up, and they're getting ready for it, and like it's this huge thing. It's like really the biggest subplot in the film, besides like you know the chick trying, you know the dude trying to murder the girl. But then they're like, okay, the DJ goes, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back in 15 minutes, and we're going to announce the prom queen. And immediately her boyfriend goes, let's go upstairs. Like, her boyfriend's trying to get her upstairs to have sex, and she goes with him. Like, they could somehow walk the 5 miles it was going to take to get to their room in this fucking giant hotel, take their clothes off, have sex, come back, and make it back in 15 minutes. So then she's going to hop up on stage to, like, receive the prom queen thing, like, with, like, sperm in her hair. Like, I don't understand...
He was actually trying to get her back to the room to propose to her.
No, but I don't understand why she would leave when the whole night, the whole reason there is like so she can fucking win prom queen.
Exactly.
May be shocked, but I can't relate to a 17-year-old girl at all. I don't understand why.
The fact that the other girl who was running for prom queen didn't get murdered was probably the most shocking thing in the film to me. Like, yeah. How did she not get killed? She set that up as, like, the main antagonist, other than the killer, and then nothing.
In any decent generic slasher movie, she would have been killed in a really
awesome
way.
That was the biggest twist ever, because at one point during the movie, the girl said something. I was like, oh, it's all right. She's going to get killed later. And Allison was like, how'd you know that? I was like, she has to. What the fuck?
That was the Shyamalan homage right there. Fucking twist.
I mean, just like so many dumbass decisions like that, and as Mark would say, the bootlegged Lindsay Lohan, who was their other friend, who looked exactly like Lindsay Lohan. She was just like, it was like there was a whole subplot. She got killed because she had to get a tampon or something from like the room because she was like she had to get mite off. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, there was a fucking mite all reference, and of course, so she goes up the room by herself, and it's just like
not
so
to mention
ridiculous.
The fact they were that couple that you had friends in high school that were a couple that were like that fought every fucking minute of the day, but yet they're in love with each other, and you hated going places with them because
well,
you knew they were
a bitch
fuck it
and
up.
Her boyfriend was a douche, so they were made for each other. Yeah. Oh, so anyway, so we'll get to the violence thing in a minute, but just on the nipple front, like that scene where the black couple goes up to like, and he's about to propose to her, but he's like he's trying to get her clothes off. She like lays down on the bed, and I swear to God, I saw half a nipple.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Was that the scene you guys saw it in too?
Yes.
I forgot how fucking tit-tastic prom dresses were. Holy shit, they've only gotten wild. It's been 4 years since I've been to prom. 4 whole years.
Has it been that long? Shut up.
I actually, at my prom, some girl was wearing a fucking two-piece dress. That was some saucy shit. Holy Jesus.
Anyways. So were there other places where you guys thought there may have been potential nipples? I mean, I saw like a half of an areola.
Well, the part where the black girl was pinned to the bed, like the cutaway to the sexy scene, that's where I thought I saw it.
That's what I'm talking about.
What?
When he puts her down on the bed, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, did I miss that? Sorry, I'm playing around with my buttons.
Well, thanks for being interested in the show,
buddy. I'm paying attention. I've been talking.
Son of a bitch. All right, so let's.
Do you want to talk violence?
Yes, because I will stand by this until I die. This film was completely devoid of any on-screen violence. It was like everyone got killed by a knife because the dude had this like crazy fucking knife. But it was either off screen or shot like very conveniently. The only thing in the whole film that even approached like interesting as far as the violence goes is actually spoiler alert, I guess, when the black chick dies, because that's probably not a spoiler. He like cuts her throat and it's off screen, but there is like at least a spatter of blood on this wall, and like I was like, all right, I'll give you that. Like it was still kind of weak.
All right, so, I mean, because I do sort of disagree with you a little bit here, just because you have to, again, take into account, this is a PG-13 movie. So, like, they can't get away with anything. They can never show you a knife entering a body. I'm pretty sure that would get you far.
Which is gay.
But, like, No, well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to debate the merits of the PG-13 rating, but they obviously went in, and so this is something that I sort of appreciated about this film, is that they knew that this was going to be PG-13 from the get-go. This wasn't like, oh, let's do an R-rated movie, and then the studio suits were like, you know what, we want to go PG-13, so like, don't even, you know, don't take out all that violence that you shot. You knew in this film that they did not even shoot the violence. They and like,
oh, so it was obvious.
Well, exactly. But like, so when you say that there was no on-screen violence, like there were on-screen murders. I believe there were 4 on-screen murders actually. I was counting.
And like, I was counting too, and there was a total of like 11 kills altogether.
Yeah, I mean,
and
there was
yet,
a
I
lot
still
of
came
body.
Out with the feeling that like I hadn't seen anything though. You know what I mean?
Can I just, and on the violence note, can I share one of the things that pissed me off the most about the film and the best kill I thought in the entire thing? There were so many awful headshots in this movie. Like, because they couldn't show a lot of the violence, there was a quick cut, like, no! When the one fucking hotel dude gets killed and he's choking him, there is literally a close-up on his face. And it's just his eyes bugging out of his head. He's going, no.
And even like the stab wounds had like the littlest bit of blood on them I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, the one girl that had like 3 Dalmatian spots of blood on her when she was laying in the bathroom was like, that doesn't even make fucking sense. It's in 3 different spots.
I think that was the other thing that would have gotten them an R is that all the people who got stabbed, the stabs were through clothing. There was one stab that was like over clothing, and it was, or you know, on naked skin, and it was the boyfriend at the very end where they show his like puncture wound in his neck. But otherwise, you didn't even see a puncture wound throughout the entire film.
Puncture wound in his neck that was not bleeding.
Well, no, it wasn't bleeding. You're right, which is crazy. I mean, you're right in that there was some like almost hilarious levels of nonviolence, but like. I was actually a little surprised at what they were able to get away with in terms of number of bodies stacked on screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, what that's worth.
Ultimately, though, this could have almost been – this could have easily been a TV movie with that little to no editing.
I mean, they won't have to edit this at all except for maybe when someone discovers that there's a half a nip in the movie.
It would have to play like after 8 o'clock, though. Like they couldn't show this in the middle of the day on a network.
Oh god! I felt like I just got an email from Christina, who listeners of the show who've listened to some of the past episodes. She's been on a few episodes. She was supposed to join us again tonight, but we had some technical difficulties. So I told her to email me and tell me what she thought, so that we could get her thoughts in. So I just got that. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. You cut out for a second. So let me just read briefly what Christina thought. The funny thing, the reason why I want to have Christina on the show is because, like, Christina's really funny because she has seen a lot. She's seen Dead Alive. She's seen Last House on the Left. And she gets into that shit, but she also really loves girly movies. Like, I'm positive that she owns a copy of Step Up. So,
oh, wait, she's actually awaiting Step Up 2?
Oh, yeah, she was trying to get my girlfriend and I to go to the theaters with her to see it. So that's what's crazy about her. I've just never met anyone like her before, so that's why I think she's interesting to have on the show. But so she wanted to see it. She was like super excited for prom night, which is awesome. And so she emailed me and said, okay, I'll admit I was excited to see this movie despite being fully aware of how awful it would be. I was simply excited to see just how bad it could possibly go, and, well, it lived up to my expectations. There were no surprises, and to sum it up, absolutely no point whatsoever. They could have at least beefed up the murders instead of lacing it with ridiculous high school dialogue that, honestly, I pray isn't the way high schoolers are today. I.e., was the black dude seriously going to propose to his girlfriend at 17 or 18 on prom night? What was that supposed to make me care about the characters? Brittany Snow is quite possibly one of the worst actresses out there today, and it physically hurt me to watch her throughout this movie. She's cheesy, over the top, and everything I can't stand about young Hollywood. Blah, blah, blah. The killer, Jonathan Schatz. He's got the face and eyes of a potentially good killer for a slasher film. However, I couldn't get past the fact that he was the lead singer for The Wonders. Anyone remember a little film called That Thing You Do? So not only was I wishing I was watching The Thing You Do instead, but I was also wondering why he was dressed like Forrest Gump at the hotel. Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay. That could be why I can't hardly wait's in there.
Yeah, well, no, I'll explain. We'll do that in a second after this. She says, the movie was predictable, there were too many coincidences, and just out of curiosity, don't elevators shut down when fire alarms go off? If so, why the hell did Donna get on the elevator to head back up to the room? And if I didn't even notice that. And if they don't shut
yeah,
down,
that's good.
if they don't shut down, I know for sure you aren't allowed on them in case of an emergency. And with hundreds of people filtering out the door, you mean to tell me that no one person saw her hit the button and wait for the damn thing to open? Ridiculous. Oh, and surprise, the killer was upstairs awaiting her arrival. Which, by the way, she went back upstairs to get a her mother's shawl. Which I get that her mother's dead, but they weren't going to burn the well, I guess maybe they could have thought there was a fire, but...
Here's the other thing. They made a point to show that she wasn't taking her anxiety medication and that she was, kind of going crazy all night. So why the fuck, if she thinks everything's going to go wrong and an alarm goes off, she's very calmly like, oh, no, I got to go get my shawl. And she's not even, rushing up into the elevator. She's like, well,
why
not send...
Yeah, you think before her along the lines of,
Yeah, she's like twiddling her thumbs waiting for the fucking elevator to go so she can take her sweet ass time going to get a scarf.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty serious situation. There was obviously something going on. So just to finish up, she says, let's talk about the slashing. There were no slash marks on anyone. Oh, no, she says, I wanted the movie to do what a slasher film is supposed to do, slice people up and attempt to keep me on the edge of my seat. Prom night, you failed. And let's talk about the slashing. There were no slash marks after anyone was killed. There was blood, but miraculously no slice marks on anyone's clothing. Yes, it was PG-13, but it was so weak it could have been PG. Basically, here's what I took away from Prom Night. I saw it yesterday afternoon, and I still have that thing you do stuck in my head. A side story to Eric farting in the theater, which if you go read my review, you can read about how
I was
entertaining myself by
farting.
I was actually
more excited about the part where people were throwing raisinettes at you.
We'll get to that in a second. A little boy behind me was farting throughout the entire movie, maybe 10 years old at best, accompanied by his sisters. Apparently the thought of high school and a prom gives him gas, too. That was estrogenical correspondent Christina piping in with her thoughts, and bummer we couldn't get her on this week.
Holy shit.
We'll get her on soon. I just got to figure out what the
issue is. Yeah, she's got to come back.
For Spoke Show.
Cutting one-liners.
She's
got to keep us... talking about nipples so much.
So there were two things we want to talk about. I'll talk about the raisin in the head first, but or second. But yeah, during the scene at the end, after they very clumsily tried to have a double sort of climax sort of thing. That thing you do is playing, or not that thing you do. Jesus Christ! No,
can't
she's
hardly
got it
wait.
Stuck in my head. Can't hardly wait is be seen playing on television, which is which is one of those early to mid 90s. It was actually probably mid to late 90s. High school movies, sort of during that whole John Hughes revival that was going on. And it's this scene from the movie that's all about fate. And Casey asked me why do you think that that was on there? And I honestly think because the scene he saw about, fate and how Mandy was playing in the radio and he's, been in love with Jennifer Love Hewitt forever or whatever. I honestly think they were just
too.
The directors were trying to be, super, I think that was, their attempt at deepness. Oh, it's, about fate and her fate is to be, stalked by this guy. And if that's, greatest intellectual statement you can make with your film, that's a problem.
It could be, yes. A subtle play on the fact that, you know, what's his name from Can't Hardly Wait? The guy, I can't remember his name now, but the main character. Yeah, he's that movie is all about how he has this sort of unreasonable crush on fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt. And it's cute and romantic, whereas Prom Night is a film that's about this fucking psychotic guy who has an unreasonable crush on, he has, if you would, erotomania. So,
nice, used in a sentence.
If I could be so fancy.
No, but so, you know, I think maybe they weren't trying to be deep with it so much as they were trying to say you know, remember this movie that everyone loved that was about a creepy guy being sort of in love with someone who he really had no right to be in love with.
Too much credit.
Well, I mean, no, I am trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you know,
it just slayed me because directors are always really precise about what films they put on the background. It's always an homage to one of their idols or some type of grand artistic statement. And it's so fucking fitting that the film playing in the background in this movie was a teen comedy from 10 years ago.
Well, I actually thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, and Casey mentioned it, I think, in the comments of your review. And I was going to comment and be that was definitely really intentional and somewhat interesting, if only because that's a film from when we were, you know, coming up, sort of. I mean, that was a high school movie for us.
Yeah, I was in high school when that came out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so it very well could be. Sorry. I don't know how old the directors are of Prom Night, but it wouldn't be surprised me if he was a 30 to 35 year old who actually really enjoyed Can't Hardly Wait when it came out and was kind of trying to say hey, this is another movie that I really, you know, like doing exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, I just thought it was fitting all around.
I mean, maybe that's the one concession they made. They made for all of us like dudes. I mean, I'm a little bit younger, but not by much. It's just like, oh, I really like that movie. That was cool. But it was like at the end.
I liked it. It was decent. And like,
wait, what was that?
I said I like Can't Hardly Wait.
I thought you were going to say that you didn't.
I think I have it on DVD actually somewhere.
Please.
Well, all right. I think we pretty much covered most of Prom Night. Was there anything else you guys want to talk about besides, yes, okay, Mark, I did get hit in the back of the head with a Raisinette during this movie. and I was not lying in my review when I said that at that point my soul had already been crushed to the point where I barely even blinked. And I could hear them laughing. My blood pressure didn't even rise. I was like, that's scary.
I'm gonna try to take this to the next level. Somebody find something besides Can't Hardly Wait that they actually liked about this movie.
Half of the black chick's nipple.
No, yeah. That's okay. Not nipples and not Can't Hardly Wait. And not something like funny. Like something that
I will
was
give,
actually done.
I will give a half a star to the throat slashing, if only because knowing that they shot this film specifically for a PG-13 rating, that was at least like a little bit of effort to like maybe sort of kind of push the boundaries a little bit. Yeah. That's all I can give this film.
I'm going to give half a star to not the black cop, but the other cop who was
12 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Super skinny. He's like a side character from The Wire season 2. And like
love it.
so horribly miscast in this film.
I was going to say they gave him like nothing to do. Like he was obviously sort of supposed to be like the funny cop, but like he had nothing to do in this
movie.
And
there was no possible way that that dude was a cop, or that they would possibly put him in charge of protecting anything.
He looked like
he was 12 and he weighed like 95 pounds. And at the end, like he's in the car and he's outside and he's supposed to be protecting her. And the black cop from the hotel is like screaming at him, like, get out and check the house. The guy has escaped. And he's like, he just turns the light on and moves around. He's like, nah, everything's cool in here. The light's still on inside. Like the killer, if he killed someone, would turn out the lights first. I mean, it was everything.
That fucking the cop scene. I don't remember if it was Halloween 4 or 5, where they're actually the playing that like slapsticky music in the background.
It was Halloween 5. Yeah, ridiculous. So I gave this shit a 2 out of 10.
I would have given it a 0.
Yeah, honestly, I thought Schnars was going to be excited because he's been waiting for me to give something less than a 5, but apparently this wasn't the movie that he wanted it to be.
It's Prom Night. That's easy.
Yeah, no, I wasn't like surprised that you gave it a 2. And at the end of the day, like I said, I actually like this better than Untraceable, which I gave a 3 to. And looking back, probably should have given a little lower, but better than Diary of the Dead, which I thought was, I mean, a valiant effort, but ridiculously bad for other reasons. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was better than The Eye, which you gave a 5 to. Like I would have had to give. I mean, this was have to be one better than The Eye.
You know what
book.
Though? I also. Okay, yes, Jessica Alba. I'm obsessed with her. But also,
I loved
the original Eye, and so at least the glimpses of the original Eye that I got in the remake reminded me of a good movie. And I hate the original Prom Night, so I had zero attachment to the. You know, I wanted the Eye to be decent because I thought that the original Eye was like a decent Asian horror flick that like was due for a redux. But you know, certainly I'll give you that I had problems with this film on principle.
Yeah, well,
and I had
so
zero
attachment
to the material. So I mean,
I would give this movie a 3, which is what I gave Untraceable. And again, I probably should have given Untraceable.
Well, as we've established, you and I definitely have different scales. So that's cool. I think that's kind of what makes our opinions. You know, it wouldn't be funny if we agreed with each other all the time.
Very true.
Neat how but you did different? You did sound like you were going to quit the show at the beginning, though.
Well, yeah, no, I handled that poorly, and I apologize. No, because
man, we're just peeling away layers of the onion here on Bloody Good Horror.
We're all so comfortable with each other.
No, because at the end of the day, I think that this film had a little more value than. You know, we probably, or that we were giving it credit for in the early going. And I hate when we just rail on something right from the get go without because I think in our discussion, if people who've listened to the full discussion will get a clearer picture of why this film failed and, you know, the few things that were actually not awful. So, for what that's worth.
Well, and the other thing too is, I guess in terms of placement, even though I haven't seen The Eye, I pretty much get it. Seen The Eye, I can see The Eye wasn't made for 16-year-old girls. So if The Eye failed, or if The Eye was lackluster, it was for completely different reasons. I mean, this movie was made for 16-year-olds, and it sucked.
I mean, Snars makes a good point about the fact that at least people die in this movie, and we talked about that when we reviewed The Eye, that it's like, there's a point when if you're paying attention, you stop and you think, there's zero, like, why should I even be interested, because I know nothing's going to happen to Jessica Alba, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and so I think another point that I would like to make right before we finish talking about this is, like, I think Mark's girlfriend, and I can't remember her name, I'm sorry now, but she, you know, her reaction to this is actually really interesting to me, because if she was honestly scared, like, you know, then this film probably works for a lot of people, you know, because there's probably a lot more people that are like Mark's girlfriend than that are like us. So.
That's a shame.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying
that's not very nice.
I'm not saying that's good, bad, or other. I'm just saying, you know, this film was made more for her than it was for us.
Mark, I'm just saying it's a shame there aren't more people like us in this world.
Okay.
It's all right, buddy. Calm down. So, all right, Casey, did you give us your score?
I'm going to go with the 3, just because there was for a PG-13, there was a lot of kills, and that's about all I can say.
So for those keeping track at home, the Bloody Good Horror cumulative score is 5.
Just what we gave The Eye.
Between all 4 of us, we gave this movie half of a full rating, so amazing.
Oh, Jesus.
I got Lewis Fowler sent me a review like last week or the week before, and on his rating it said -6. And I was like, dude, I don't even have the capability of using that rating.
We have the capability, but we'd rather not use it.
I love Lewis's scale. It's like sci-fi movies are 10s, and if shitty doesn't like is like -35. There's no middle ground with Lewis.
I might have to develop a completely different system.
You should have like for each of his reviews, you should just have like the Lewis Fowler system that uses his head as like rating points.
I was gonna say rubber chickens, but
I think his head is better because he's got that awesome evil mustache.
Got 9 Lewises.
All right, that was effing prom night, and I would be shocked and appalled if any of our listeners actually went out to see it this week. So if you did, leave us a voicemail, and what I forgot to mention at the top of the show is that we have a new voicemail number now because we had a problem with our account. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 206-600. That's the wrong number.
And we're going to confuse the shit out of everyone now.
Son of a bitch. You know why? Because Mark didn't change the number like he told me he was going to.
It was all Mark's fault.
All right, obviously. It's 206-202-4667 is the new phone number. Anyone has sent us a message in like the last 3 weeks to a month, we did not get it, so we were not ignoring you, and I apologize for that. Send us a new message. So
apparently Brian called in from Drunken Zombie to defend himself from the unprompted attack by Eric last week.
I called shenanigans on the Drunken Zombie guys last week. I was just poking a little fun, and he sent us a voicemail, and we never got it, but he thought we were mad at him. He thought we were going to break up with him.
No, so, we ain't mad at you.
Ryan, come on back. We're sorry.
We're really sorry, because I thought nobody liked us, and that's why we weren't getting any voicemail. It turns out nobody liked us for a month, and then when people started to like us, it was too late.
Yeah, so the shenanigans. So call us and let us know what you think of prom night, or if you have anything to add to the discussion about, you know, just these films in general and, you know, us talking about them, definitely let us know. So with that said, let's move on. And Casey, please let us know what's going on in the world of DVD releases.
Alrighty. Here we go, folks. This week there's some good movies coming out, some not-so-good movies, but there's a lot of horror stuff on the list this week. First up, we have the DVD release of ABP Requiem that we covered on the show. I think it got a mediocre all around from all of us, so it's definitely, if you're a fan of the franchise, definitely it's something worth a grab from Blockbuster on a Friday night. It's also out this week, which... I believe episode 21 from Horror Hound, we did a review on this movie, and it is Inside.
Get it.
Comes out on DVD this week, and you pretty much, yeah, drop everything, go get it, watch it. That's that good. Don't really even need to question it. Let's see. Next up, we have The Loch Ness Terror.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. James Murphy is a rugged cryptozoologist who 30 years earlier, during a trip to Loch Ness, Scotland, had a fatal encounter with the fabled Nessie creature that killed his father and left James with a deep facial scar. 20 years later, James is hunting for Nessie when his search leads him to the sleepy town of Pike Island, Ashburn, on Lake Superior. Hiring Josh Riley as his guide, James and Josh bond over their mutual scientific interest in deceased fathers, while James tries to convince Josh's mother, Sheriff Karen Riley, that the 60-foot plesiosaur is killing and breeding. So
it's never good when he can't even get the synopsis without laughing.
Yeah. Bonding over folks, dead fathers.
Folks, I can't say anything for I can't say anything for certain about this, but I'd be willing to bet you can expect a review from Lewis Fowler on this. And
I was just
going to
say that.
I had 10 Lewis.
And then the final horror flick we got on the list is called Kinky Killers.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes.
Kinky Killers, patients of sexy psychiatrist Dr. Jill Kessie and eccentric attorney Alexander Hathaway are being murdered in bloody satanic rituals. Law enforcement investigations reveal that sex and mutilation are the signature of a serial killer who likes to tattoo each of the victims after they are murdered. Lead Detective Barry Harper discovers that some beautiful professional women are the prey, or are they doing the preying? Killer hookers.
Nice.
Can't be.
Killer hookers,
and
not
finally,
to be confused with zombie strippers.
And finally, the release on the release. It's not a horror release this week, but I'm bringing this one up just for the Tiny Brothers here on the show. Is we have Uwe Boll's In the Name of the King is out on DVD this week.
By the way, I'm not sure that I'm crazy about the Tiny Brothers nickname. I just want that pointed out for the record.
Tiny Brothers.
Yeah, but after the Night of the Living podcast, dubbed you guys Tiny Fighters.
It was Pocket Fighters.
No, it was Tiny Fighters.
And when I heard that, I seriously spit my fucking drink out, and I laughed. They're little tiny fighters.
I was going to call and leave him a voicemail and tell him I was calling from inside of Amy's pocket.
This may sound muffled. I'm inside of Amy's pocket. By the way,
that was good.
Anti-shenanigans to them for talking about all of us at length in their last episode. I'm glad that we could get more than one perspective on Orhan Weekend.
On the most epic wrestling match ever.
Yeah, because our perspective may have been a bit clouded.
March was cloudy after I DDT'd him on the concrete.
Yeah. I still can't really see.
Jake Roberts would have been proud.
Yeah, but for you listeners out there, all four of us are pretty much all over the Night of Living podcast coverage from Horror Hound, so definitely check it out.
All right, Schnars, why don't you tell me what's up with your box this week?
All right. Well, so I'll just run down this week. I think we may have mentioned, actually, I don't know if we did yet, but
no, we have not.
Prom Night triumphantly marches to number one with 22 million, a little over 20, I mean, 20, almost $23 million. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but coming in number two is Street Kings, which was a new release this week. 21, which is looking at its third week in release, is number three. Then Nim's Island is second week in release, number four. And George Clooney's Leatherheads at number five, which is its second week in release. So The Ruins dropped out to number eight. Only brought in about $3.25 million for a total of 13 now in 2 weeks. So... but yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, during my little box office spiel here, you know, tell everyone to check out on my blog. I put up a post about kind of digging in deeper into some of the issues in the box office each week. And I'm going to be keeping a Google Doc spreadsheet online where, I'll be updating all of the horror releases for 2008. With a lot of different information, and I'm going to try and be crunching the numbers in different ways to try and get a handle on, you know, not only like which films are doing well and like how well they're doing, but trying to find ways to compare and contrast and look at some of the other trends that we might be able to pull out of the box office numbers as they, you know, come in.
You know what that is? Fancy.
It's a little fancy. I will admit that it perhaps may be considered a little fancy. But, you know, I mentioned this in the blog, but I really would like to hear from people about, you know, what they think and if there's like other ideas of like numbers that they would like to see pulled out or, you know, pulled together. You know, I only aspire to be a stats nerd, and I'm hoping that there's actual real life stat nerds out there who can, you know, give me a better idea of how I can flesh these things out.
Awesome.
For stat enthusiasts, that might help.
Yes.
Stat nerds. Yeah.
Now, I have
to say, if you're a stat nerd, you know who you are. And, you know, I tip my hat to you because stat nerds are awesome. So.
Stat nerds. All right.
Yeah.
And then
so I would just like to just I'm curious. Is Street Kings, is that Keanu Reeves joint that I was saying a couple weeks ago I thought looked decent?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And you know what?
I'm
pretty surprised
it was number two.
Well, I read some reviews that they said it wasn't bad. They said it was actually really ridiculous, like sort of over the top ridiculous.
Which is
cool. And I didn't know this, but it's actually based on a James Ellroy either short story or novel. So he's sort of got some cachet, and that, you know, maybe that could have brought some folk out.
Let's see. Prom Night at 22 million. I'm just trying to bring up any discussions. We don't know the budget on that, right? That had to have been shot for, like, I would say like 10 million probably.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It must have
if
made its money back this week.
Yeah. It was all spent on that fucking hotel room.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the money was probably setting up that fucking prom.
Oh, definitely.
And there was correct me if I'm wrong, was there not a story this week about how the people who wrote the book that 21 was based on were basically, like, making shit up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I emailed that to you guys earlier in the week. Yeah, so that's obviously an issue whenever there's sort of a popular quote nonfiction book that comes out. I mean, obviously that, what's his name, James Frey or whatever, that Million Little Pieces or whatever, got annihilated because of that. But these guys, his name's like Ben Meserich or something, wrote Bringing Down the House, is definitely sort of coming in for a little bit of a beating on it. Although he kind of claims that he did nothing wrong, which, I mean, obviously he's going to do. Yeah, it sounds pretty shady from some of the stuff that I read on it, so for what that's worth.
So he's not a bajillion zillionaire in real life, then? That's not true?
I'm sure he's very wealthy, if for no other reason than the book is, like, super popular, and you know, they optioned it into a movie.
Yeah,
and he went to fucking MIT, so I'm sure he has a good job outside of that.
So we'll move on to horror news. I just would like to say I'm a little disheartened by Prom Night's you know, success this week, if only because, as we all know, these things usually beget, you know, more crappy films when they do well. So it reminded me so much of those late 90s slashers that we hate so much. It was like, literally, I could feel someone trying to, like, single-handedly revive that type of film, and that just really kind of got to my core and bothered me a lot, so...
I think you're looking into a much more sinister purpose besides the fact that they just knew they were going to make a fucking ass look.
Well, that's what all those movies were in the late 90s anyway. They were just trying to make money off the screen thing. So, I mean,
and this is something that we didn't get into during the actual discussion of the film, but, like, I'm going to hopefully be talking about in this kind of box office column that I'm going to try and be working on every week. Well, that I will do every week. I don't know how much writing I'll be able to do, but, I think when we have to, like, it's very hard to separate our nostalgia for some of the, like, 70s and 80s classic slashers from the, like, reality on the ground. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a lot of those...
on the ground.
No, well, at the time, like, when those films came out, we know that a lot of them bombed. We know that they probably got panned. You know, we know that some of the really crappy ones, the ones that we don't look back on favorably now, probably did better than some of the ones that we do look back on favorably.
What?
So, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, Prom Night is a movie that anyone's going to be talking about in 20 years, but, you know, take it. I think you can take a little bit away from the fact that maybe it will kind of fade into obscurity. Even though it made a lot of money up front, it won't be remembered as favorably as other films.
Well, do you remember when we were talking before Cloverfield came out about how we were sort of on this new wave, you know, of like you had this with, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses, Cabin Fever, Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 2003 really began a wave of a few years where like super violent films were ruling the box office. And that, of course, came as a backlash from, you know, the late 90s when everything was, you know, very sterile sort of. And now if I'm just looking back in the last couple of weeks of releases, like all PG-13 films, all really watered down. I just think maybe we're coming back on now a backlash from those violent films. And this to me is like the like watershed moment, I think.
Look
at The Ruins, which we talked last week was incredibly violent, dropped to number 8 this week, has only made like 13 million. And here's Prom Night, 22 million, its opening weekend. I mean, if studios listen to box office, I think that's a pretty clear message.
Well, yeah, it is, but I don't know that you're separating out causation and causality, or, you know, just because like you know, one film does well or one film doesn't do well, like that doesn't always play into what gets made. I mean, by that logic, like we should be seeing a lot more Cloverfields than we are hearing about. You know, I don't think we're hearing about as many monster movies really anticipated that we were going to.
Was gimmicky too. I mean, it's hard to. We agreed that, you know, much of Cloverfield's sort of cachet is that it did that handheld thing so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but anyway, I just think it could be bad. I'm just saying. I mean, I know I usually read more into this than you guys, but
if anything, I think the handheld thing is kind of coming back. if you've noticed. Yeah. But again, I'm not sure if it's a cause and effect sort of thing, or, you know, I don't know.
What I'll be interested to see, and now that I'm like taking the time to like chronicle these things like as meticulously as I can, is I'm really interested to see if like we continue with this PG-13 trend, because I mean, looking at these early releases, there's only been 2 R-rated films that have gotten a wide release, because I'm not including Diary of the Dead, which like didn't get a release anywhere really, and I didn't include Doomsday in my spreadsheet, which like I don't know, I didn't include it because it didn't open in the U.S. first; it opened overseas, and that happens sometimes. But I don't know; I just don't think you're able. I would be able to like make as many sweeping kind of generalizations about that film as I would about, you know, if I keep all the rules the same for all the films. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's bang out some news stories and roll this bad boy up. All right. On Monday, Jensen Ackles, who, if you're a 17-year-old girl, you would recognize from the show Supernatural. He's been tapped to star in Lionsgate's My Bloody Valentine 3D. His character will be a quote, handsome, principled man who returns to his home in Harmony, Missouri, 10 years after 22 people were murdered on Valentine's night. Nobody's returning, but that's basically the plot of the first one. Back in Montana, somebody does return in the first one. Never mind.
Yeah.
Back in Montana, Tom finds he still is smitten with his first love, Sarah, played by Jamie King. That's basically, at least they're keeping with the story. I didn't like the first one at all, but that was just me.
I'm excited about, because I did like the first one, is that they're hopefully going to be keeping the mind thing going,
was the best thing about the film that I thought.
Yeah,
I still think it's bad, but I mean, what a fucking awesome setting and what a cool slasher like costume.
Yeah, so you know,
I just think the execution was poor, but I'm super excited about having a 3D slasher film again, as corny as it is. I mean, it's called My Bloody Valentine, you might as well make it 3D, you know what I mean?
Fucking A.
All right, so we've been discussing this next story a lot on the site. Alexander Bustillo and Julian Mori, who are the directors of Inside. Basically, 2 stories came out this week. One story, essentially, but then there was a follow-up. They are officially off of the Hellraiser remake. And from, I know we were discussing what exactly it was they were going to do. They were going to be directing, and there are 2 other dudes writing. But now they're off of it completely. And then later in the week, there was a story where they basically, in an interview, they were basically saying that they just were having disagreements with the company, and they didn't feel that they were being respected, and that their original concept was being changed too much. So, shenanigans on, you know, whoever drove two, like, pretty amazing directors off that project. Yeah. Okay, guess we have no thoughts. I think that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. I have zero
shenanigans
interest in this
sums that up, I think.
Okay. Lionsgate. Early in the week, we got two Midnight Meat Train stories. The first story was Lionsgate changing the name to Midnight Train, which means someone walked in the office and was like, did you know there's also gay porn called this? Because
yeah. that was actually Midday Meat Train.
Yeah, Midday Meat Train, which someone pointed out on the site this week means that the posters we got at Horror Hound Weekend with the full title may be worth a little bit of money someday. Who knows?
15 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the next day, the story came out that the film is being pulled from theatrical release. It was supposed to come out, I believe, in May, possibly April. I can't quite remember, but it is now going straight to DVD, which is a bummer. Well, I don't know. I'm not really that – have no real love for this project, but I know that, like, Casey's been really excited about it, and I know a lot of people have. So that's a bummer. And as John had pointed out, they've been showing – like trailers in this for this in theater, so it's pretty surprising.
Yeah, I was more just. I mean, I am a little upset because it's sort of an original. I mean, I think it's an original horror film, right? I mean, there's no remake or sequel here at all, right?
It's another Clive Barker short story.
Short story, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I got no problem with them adapting. You know,
I'm not saying that because that's how we got Hellraiser. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't understand. They must have been rolling this out pretty hard, and I mean, at least in New York, I had been seeing like ads and stuff.
I think its date
like,
had been shifted before, though. I don't think that was its original date. So, I mean, who knows? I guess we'll find out when it comes out. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a show. See, this is what I know. We've been discussing like what we're gonna do in upcoming shows. I think like something like that, a fairly high profile DVD release, would make a good show. Like if we hadn't gotten to see Inside early, we could have done a show on it. So I think we'll be researching and trying to do some of those. If anybody has suggestions, let us know.
Teeth. That's my suggestion. When the fuck are we going to see Teeth?
Yeah, no, we definitely.
I think it's out on DVD already.
Well, goddammit,
let's
talk about
a motherfucking vaginal teeth show.
Man.
You know this. I'm looking down.
We need to come at all of this like sterile. Was that a boob with like full on fucking vagina teeth?
All right, dude. I need you to bring down a couple
that
notches.
Was awesome.
He writes for the magazine, you know.
Yeah, dude, come on.
It's true, he does.
I'm looking down the news stories I picked up this week, and they were like almost all not good. The next one had John crying himself to sleep this week. All the Boys Love Mandy Lane has been shifted again, and we were so close this time to seeing it. It was like May 30th or something, and it's been moved to an undetermined date, which is like. I'm convinced this is going to go to DVD now. There's no – if a studio has – now, maybe Prom Night will tell them, like, because not that it's Prom Night, but it's definitely a film that could play to teenagers, I think, which is one reason why I'm so surprised it's not being rolled out.
And it's an R-rated film, right? I mean, this is
– I think so, and I've seen the trailer in theaters, and it's an awesome trailer.
Yeah, I've heard, like, really good things about this movie, and it just boggles my mind. You know what, though? Like, and this could be – I'm holding a little bit of hope that this is a good sign that they're actually going to like roll this thing out as like a summer, not blockbuster, but like, you know, popular. Yeah. Like alternative summer film. You know, I mean, they're going to try and throw a little bit more like marketing behind it. Who knows? I mean, but you're right. It was pretty upsetting that thing got bounced.
Yeah.
So,
another bad story, Cowboys for Christ, which is Robin Hardy's long-awaited follow-up to the original film Wicker Man, apparently has been momentarily scrapped due to financial concerns.
I mean, not surprising, really, right?
Yeah, but... well, I mean, I think we all need something to wash the taste of Nicolas Cage in a bear suit out of our...
Well, yeah, but the original Wicker Man was actually fucking, awesome. I thought, pretty sweet. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
So...
That's well. This is the original. Like, this is the guy who did the original.
Yeah.
Doing a sequel.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine how. Well, like, I don't know where he's been getting enough LSD over the last 30 years to like make another Wicker Man, because that movie was fucking crazy. So,
Let's see. The first official theatrical trailer for Quarantine came out this week, which is the remake of the Spanish flick Record. I'm not really sure how to say it. I saw it on. Online, and I also saw it in the theater yesterday or Friday for Prom Night. Casey really liked it. I think John liked it. I really was not all that impressed for some reason. I don't know why. Something bothered me about it. What'd you guys think?
It wasn't a great trailer, but I'm excited for the film.
I like Jennifer Carpenter. Yeah. She was amazing in The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, I didn't like it. I kind of made me want to see the original.
I really would like to see the original. I'm actually interested.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think the Bloody Good Horror, the Night of Living Podcast guys reviewed it at Horror Hound, because we had left at that point. They screened it on Sunday. So.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Two more quick stories. Jake Gyllenhaal has been offered the lead role in the Prince of Persia adaptation, and I wanted to bring this up. It's a video game, but Mark has played it, so I was just curious as to what he thought of this, because I've never played it.
I mean, it's hilarious, because it's like casting non-Asian people in 21.
I was trying to picture him. I was trying to picture him with like long like Persian hair and like a sword, but I just couldn't do it.
It's fucking. It's Prince of Persia, not like Prince of South Dakota.
But. Yeah, shouldn't they get like Fisher Stevens or some shit?
It's gonna suck. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
no, I've actually played the reference game too. Lost on everyone.
I don't know how they're gonna make. I mean, I guess they could make a movie out of it with like a lot of backstory added in, but.
Oh, and it's gonna—I mean, it's gonna be fucking CG'd to all hell, because there's a, you know, there's like a time manipulation aspect to it.
Well,
so
I was gonna say,
crazy Matrix style shot. I mean, it's just so that he's been offered the role, and I feel like at this point in his career, he's not gonna take it. But you never know; he could just be looking to do like a fun action movie or something.
Oh, and if they give him enough money, he'll be like, "Oh, fuck it," you know, whatever. So
he just always plays like those quirky, like, you know what I mean. I can't picture him as like. I just don't see it.
I'd rather watch Michael Cera be the Prince of Persia.
That would be fucking amazing. That'd be a totally different movie, though.
Yeah.
All right, one more story this week, then we're going to get the hell out of here, and I wanted to round it off with just one more prom night tidbit. I found, like, a very angry post on Bloody Disgusting. Apparently they were snubbed on the red carpet for prom night. Which, in all fairness, if you ever seen this dude that writes for their site, his name is, like, he calls himself Spooky Dan, and he's definitely, like, very gothed out. So, like, he's, like, the kind of dude that would look strange standing, like, if Brittany Snow walked by, he would look strange to her standing on the fucking red carpet with a microphone in his hand. But that it was Brittany Snow apparently just walked right by him, and I was like,
I fucking laughed
my ass off when I heard that story.
I think it's pretty safe to say that any of us would look strange on at a red carpet event. Maybe, I mean, if Schnars combed his hair, I think he would be able to.
Thanks, dude.
I'm just saying. Yeah, as I said,
I'm just saying your hair looks nice when it's combed. That's a compliment.
Oh, all right, cool.
As I said on the post, I wouldn't have been surprised if she didn't realize she was in a horror film. So,
or if she didn't realize that she had a fucking pulse.
Yeah.
Sorry. Jeez.
Yikes.
There goes my date with Brittany Snow.
I think I made a comment in my review about, like, you know, you find out that she was being stalked, and I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't be so hot then.
She wasn't even that hot.
She's pretty hot. She's got a hot, mousy jailbait thing going on.
She was fine. She was just fine, I would say.
Schnars was smitten.
There was nothing wrong.
So, that's the show. I don't know if I feel better. I feel a little cleansed. The good news is that the next couple weeks are release free, so we're going to be digging into some more cult stuff. You know, we're going to be doing some Italian stuff, some Japanese stuff. We're going to do some older American stuff. Maybe some vaginal teeth movies. But you know, we're going to get a chance to do some films that we actually want to talk about that are probably good, or you know, that we know are good. So definitely stay tuned for the next couple weeks. If you left us a voicemail, again, apologies if you've left us a voicemail like in the last month, because we did not get it. So our new number is, shit, you know, I should have kept it in front of me.
Oh, my
of a bitch. Our new number is, oh, no, that
wait,
wasn't it.
Sure, is that the old number? No, that.
Wait for it. Stand by. 206-202-4667. And I've tested it out, and it does work. So you know what we're gonna do? If you don't, the problem is if you don't use it every so often, like it goes.
You lose it.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it. So we're just I'm gonna just make Mark do at least like one drunk dial a week, so that we'll at least keep the account active or whatever.
Or you could just call it normally.
Yeah, but I forgot. I know, I completely
Why must
forgot
we drink?
It.
It's a call. Yeah.
I completely forgot about it.
If it's one thing I don't need to do any more of, especially this weekend, it's drink.
Drunk dialing?
No, just drinking, period.
Dude, get it in now, because when you're not in college anymore, it's not, like, cool to be fucking wasted on, like, weekdays, so...
Don't let him tell you. No, that's a lie.
No, it's just totally. Who said anything about weekdays? Guilty conscience. Jeez.
All right, guys. Did I forget anything? Anything you guys want to add?
No. BloodyGoodHorror.com is the site.
Yep.
That's the website.
Check out
the. We all have
blogs.
We all have blogs now. Yeah. Lewis Fowler had a post about Shia LaBeouf's.
Yeah, Lewis got his blog running, and his first post was Shia LaBeouf-tastic. So.
And also, wait, I also reviewed Horton Hears a Who on the Bloody Good Horror site.
You did, and he kept begging me to make it a feature, and I was like, dude, I can't bring myself to like have that listed under the latest feature on the front page, like a big
I like that.
It was good, it was good. It was very good.
I saw a movie made for 16-year-old girls and a movie made for 8-year-old boys and girls, and I enjoyed the children's movie much more.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's it, guys. I gotta get the hell out of here. I'm tired. Tune us in the next couple weeks, hear some good cult stuff, and visit us at bloodygoodhorror.com. And that's it, guys. We will see you next week.
Night.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, Slim Shady.
Yo, Boys 5'9". Yeah, I'm one of them pretty rappers. Fuck if I really have to. I really slap you. King of Detroit, who they name in the city after?
What?
Scantless partners, who's Grammy hammers the hard shit into your heart with content you don't wanna start with. Expert, bad and evil is coming soon. MCs get stuck head first back in their mother's womb. The shit is written in my eyes. I'm the illest MC spitting.
What?
Leaving all of you cats shitting kittens. I got a dish you. My niggas be cocking pistols. Shot and split you. Fuck splitting the profits with you.
What?
6% of y'all niggas just pretend. Clicks with clicks. Pussy niggas stick with dicks.
What?
Niggas act bully and blast for the fast penny. My auto is fully. Plenty of your niggas pack a semi. Speak dark. Yo, you get paid.
What?
Rhyming about it is the sweet part. You can't be street smart with a cheap heart. 5'9", a street nigga with deep feeling.
What?
I keep illin', my steed's willing to keep killing.
What?
Fuck rap, a lot of y'all all is just acts. Trust that, you rhyme all whack on rough tracks.
Bust,
and then we all black when you get bust back at.
Fuck that,
you get blast at, you get laughed at. And I'ma spit thunder.
What?
Stick to my guns, niggas is finished before the gimmicks. One hit wonders,
what?
Big balls, that's why when I spit, you click stars. I'm a pit bull, I'm just dog, I'm just raw.
What?
Split y'all, holler it's on, then I dish y'all. All of y'all niggas get pissed on, claiming you pissed off.
Y'all want drama, wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. Can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it. Y'all want drama, wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it.
The one man on the planet that'll drive off of the Grand Canyon, hop out of a Grand Am and land in a handstanding. Any man planning a battle will get snatched out of his clothes so fast it'll look like an invisible man standing. I'm headed for hell, I'd rather be dead or in jail. Bill Clinton, hit this, and you better than hell. Cause any MC that chooses to go against me is getting taken advantage of, like Monica Lewinsky. Came home in a frenzy, pushing a 10-speed, screaming the amp, hey, with 3 spokes sticking out of my pant leg. Fuck a headache, give me a migraine, damn it, I like pain. You should be anywhere that a mic came. You rap knowing you act, you act up and I'm throwing you down a flight of steps, then I'm throwing you back up em. If they don't like the track, fuck em. The rap struck em harder than getting hit by a Mack trucking and backed up on. And any half-ass rapper to trespass, better be ready for the second celebrity death match. So tell the medic to bring the medication in quickly. I'm sicker than the Tupac dedication to Biggie. I'm free falling feet first out of a damn tree to stampede your chest that you can't breathe. And when I'm down to my last breath, I'ma climb the Empire State Building and get to the last step. I still have half
y'all
left.
Y'all want drama? Wanna make a scary movie? Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it. Y'all want drama, wanna make a scary movie. Rappers coming in with their team and carry toolies. You can jump right out of the screen and barely move me. We hard hitting, directing and starring in it.